my brother said, I don't know the answer to that. And he said, well, if you don't know where you're going, I can tell you where you're going, and you don't want to go there. And he shared the gospel with my brother, and later on that summer, he met a preacher named Dwayne Martin, sat down and answered some questions to my brother. And after all the answers, the questions that pastor gave him, this pastor said, Sammy, you've had some good questions today, but I believe your greatest need is that you need to be born again. You need to be saved. And Sammy said he thanked him and he left his presence and went back to his apartment. Right when he walked into the door, he fell on his knees and cried out to God and got saved by the grace of God. Amen. And then he started praying for me. And 21 years later, now Sammy was in an apartment by himself and got saved. And he prayed for me for 21 long years. And 21 years later, on March the 10th of 1998, I was in my apartment by myself and fell on my knees and got saved by the grace of God. And only God could write that story. So we want this story to be shown not to lift us up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and to get the gospel around the world. And so you pray with us about that. There's some little pamphlets on the back table back there, Venture Films, if you want to look into that or maybe give towards that, because we're asking people, we'll take every dime we can get. You know, some people say, well, I can't give very much. I might be able to give $5. I said, we'll take it. I mean, you know, little as much when God is in it. Amen. And so if you'd pray with us about that, and I'll try to keep your pastor updated on how things are going. I'm leaving here tonight after the service, and I'm driving home. And then tomorrow, my brother and I are driving to South Carolina to read the script and have a meeting. And then I got to drive back home, and then I'm heading to Pennsylvania Saturday. So it's going to be a busy weekend. But thank the Lord, I get to do what I do. You know, I stayed pretty busy when I was running with the devil. And I hope that I can stay even busier running for my Lord. Amen? All right. Well, I want to, let's see, what was I going to do? I forgot. Anyway, I had something on my brain I was going to share with you, and it fell off. All right, well, maybe I'll remember as I'm riding down the road, and I'll call you, Pastor, and tell you what it was. Oh, me. Y'all pray for my brain. Sometimes I'm wondering if it's going somewhere else. I'm heading one way, and my brain's heading the other direction. But I do want to thank you again for allowing me to come and be with you. What a sweet church you have. What a sweet spirit. And thank God for that. Thank God for these men and their families and their sacrifice for the Lord. And so I want you to open your Bibles with me tonight to Acts chapter 16. And I hope that this message tonight will encourage you in the Lord. You know, America and the world has been going through a pretty hard time here of late with the pandemic and all those things that are happening. But thank God that He is still in control. The Bible says in the Proverbs, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water eternal that whithersoever he will. And so we don't have to worry about anything because God is in control. Oh, I know what the story I was going to tell you. Before we read the scripture, I want to tell you the story and sing this song. That's what it was. Now I remember it. I don't have to call you. I don't have to call you early in the morning, preacher. All right. My brother Sammy and I were together doing a meeting in Nebo, North Carolina, up in the mountains. And we got there a little early to set up our equipment and get ready for the Sunday service the next day. And we got there early. The pastor didn't meet us there, and he was, you know, about 30 minutes out or so. And so we were just kind of walking around looking at the church property. They just built this new swing set trying to get kids from the community to come in so they could share the gospel with them. And when we walked around the back of the church, there were a hill back up here like this, and there were two trailers kind of back up in the woods. And we heard some of the worst cursing and screaming and yelling that we'd heard in a long time. And it was coming from the lips of a woman. It was bad. I looked at my brother. He looked at me, and he said, sounds like ministry time, brother. And I said, yeah, I think so. So we headed up the hill, and we knocked on the first trailer. This young man came there, and we said, look, we're two brothers. We're going to be singing and preaching down here at this church tomorrow. Love for you to come. Share the gospel with him and gave him a gospel track. He didn't get saved, but he was very kind to let us do that. And then we told him, we said, look, we heard some screaming and yelling and cussing and thought maybe we could help. He went, oh, he said, that's my sister, and she lives in that trailer up there. And you don't want to go up there, man. I can tell you that right now. Don't go up there. And we said, okay. But that's where we were headed. And we left his trailer and went up there and knocked on that door. And the young man that answered the door, this was what he said. He said, this is not a good time.
We said, well, we kind of figured that. But look, we're two brothers. We're singing and preaching down the hill. Wanted to invite you to come. Gave him a gospel tract, and that's as far as we got. And as we were walking off the steps there, I looked down, and in the little window there were three little kids waving at us and smiling. Right there in the shadow of the steeple, there were people who needed Jesus Christ. And we even asked that guy if anybody in that church had ever come and knocked on their door, invited them to come, and he said, no, sure haven't. Isn't that a sad thing? And there's a lot of people who need to be invited and a lot of people who will probably come if we wouldn't just go and knock on those doors. And so my brother, there's God all over him, and he wrote this song called In the Shadow of the Steeple. Hearing voices all around us, the words of anger and of hurt, broken dreams and wounded hearts. Smiling faces hide the pain, trying hard to just pretend, with hidden scars and secret hurts. In the shadow of the steeple, kids are crying. Troubled homes and broken families. So much sorrow and such great need. In the shadow of the steeple, the voices of confusion, so lonely and so lost. Storms have come, torn and tossed. Many hide to cover shame, and on others place the blame. Missing peace and guilt the cost. Who can heal the brokenhearted? Offer hope and brighter days. Who can wash away their sin? Answer prayer at their wit's end. Only Jesus. In the shadow of the steeple, kids are crying. In troubled homes and broken families. So much sorrow and such great need in the shadow of the steeple. Lord, please give us eyes to see in the shadow of steeple. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You know, here in the Word of God, we find some people that went through a hard time. As a matter of fact, these two men that we're going to talk about tonight were in a bad, bad way. But during the trial, they trusted the Lord, and He brought them through it. And so no matter what you're going through, God can bring you through the trial. Amen? If you'll just trust Him. If you'll just trust Him. So if you'll stand with me, I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture here and have prayer time. Then I'll go through this story. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Father God in heaven, once again, I bow my head and my heart here in public. I've already prayed privately, but here publicly I acknowledge without You I can do nothing. But I thank God that I can do all things through Christ. And Father, I pray that You'd give me Your strength tonight. Help me to say everything You want me to say and not say anything You don't want me to say. I pray for every precious soul that's in this building tonight or who is listening in their car or on the internet or on Facebook or whatever it may be. And Father, I pray that Your word would go forth and accomplish that which You sent it out to do. And Father, I'm not a great preacher, but I serve a great God. And I pray that You'd use me tonight. And as always, I pray if somebody is in church tonight, but they're not in Christ, they don't know You as Savior. And if they died right now, they'd bust hell wide open. I pray that You would speak to their heart tonight. And Lord, we'll give You all the praise, honor, and glory again for any good that comes out of this, for You deserve it all. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And I appreciate you standing. Thank you. I want to tell you that you're here tonight and you're either in a trial or you just came out of a trial or you're headed for a trial. For such is life. That's just the way it is. A friend of mine wrote a poem. I want to read it to you. It's called My Trouble. My troubles are coming, my troubles are gone, and more trouble is on the way. One thing is for sure, my troubles endure, for my trouble will meet me today. So often I've tried just simply to hide my face from its long gazing stare, yet running my best from east to the west, I find that my trouble's still there. From dusk until dawn, my troubles roll on, and it seems that my troubles won't end. But then as I look in the words of God's book, I find there that trouble's my friend. Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, wrote this quote, God will not forget his children, nor will he forsake our care. His compassion is enduring even when we're unaware. Maybe you're here tonight and you're brokenhearted. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe even asking God why. I heard a preacher say one time, you should never ask God why, but I'll remind you on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I think it's okay to ask God why, but remember this, when you ask God why, he may give you a quick answer. He may make you wait a little while for your answer, and you may not get your answer until you see him face to face in glory. That's all up to him. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not as close to God as you used to be. Can I remind you that God doesn't move? I heard a story my brother told one time about a grandma and a granddad riding in the old pickup truck, and it had one of those seats that went all the way across, and grandma's sitting over here, granddad's driving. They get behind this young couple, and you couldn't put a piece of paper in between them. They're so close together. And grandma said, hey, Daddy, remember when we used to ride like that? And he looked at her and said, I ain't moved. And that's what happens. I know that's not good English, but anytime we feel a distance from God, God ain't moved. God never moves. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord and I change not. In my testimony Sunday morning, I told you that my brother Samuel wrote me a letter. And I still have that letter, and every now and then I get that letter out and read it because it was a love letter from my brother to my heart, because my brother was praying for me all those years, wanting me to be saved. And in that letter, you know, he shared the gospel, but right in the center of that letter, he said this. He said, Bruce, God has a perfect plan for your life. And guess what? God has a perfect plan for everybody's life. But the only way you're going to know God's perfect plan for your life is, number one, to know his perfect son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior. And once that happens, then you get in this perfect book, and this is where you find God's perfect plan for your life. And then years later, my brother wrote a song called Perfect Plan, and we recorded a CD called Perfect Plan, and this is that song. Almost gone, and the wind is blowing strong. Heaven seems so silent when you pray. When your faith has turned to fear, and you can't hold back the tears, your friends no longer know quite what to say. You looked and cannot find him, and the road is long and dark, and you question why he seems so far away. When you wonder, is he with me? Does he hear my broken heart? Remember, child, he knows just where you are. Think of Job and how he suffered, and the glory of his praise, when you just can't seem to face another day. In the trial, God is faithful. He will give sufficient grace. Count your blessings, bow the knee, and walk by faith. You looked and cannot find him, and the road is long and dark, and you question why he seems so far away. When you wonder, is he with me? Does he hear my broken heart? Remember, child, he knows just where you are. The Lord knows every step you take, every teardrop in your eye. Often we may not understand our Father has a perfect plan. You looked and cannot find him, and the road is long and dark, and you question why he seems so far away. When you wonder, is he with me? Does he hear my broken heart? Remember, child, he knows just where you are. Remember, child, he knows just where you are. Our Father has a perfect plan. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Here in the Bible, we're going to be reading about Paul and Silas. And I can tell you this, if you were going to be a friend of the Apostle Paul, you better get ready to be in trouble, because everywhere that boy went, he got in trouble. Now, it was not his fault. He was doing exactly what God called him to do. But you know what? When you do what God calls you to do, sometimes you're going to have to suffer for that. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. You know, we can read the stories of Jacob, Gideon, and Peter, and others in the Bible, and we can see how God used them, and because we've got the rest of their story recorded right here in the Word of God. But we don't know the rest of our story, because our lives have not been written yet. They are being written as we breathe, as we go about our daily walk. God is writing our lives right now. Now, I want to share something with you. How many of you remember Paul Harvey and the rest of the story? I used to love to hear that guy. Actually, I ordered some of those CDs off the internet not long ago, and I listened to those riding up and down the road. And this is one of my favorite ones, and you'll understand why when I get through reading it. This is called A Dreamer and His Dream. Let me tell you, Jesse hated this job, and you would too if you had to do it. Jesse was a chicken plucker. Yeah. Wasn't much of a job at that time. Jesse didn't think he was much of a person. His father was a brute of a man. His dad actually thought to be mentally ill and treated Jesse rough all his life. Jesse's older brother wasn't much better. He was always picking on Jesse and beating him up. Jesse grew up in a very rough home in West Virginia. Life was anything but easy, and he thought life didn't hold much hope for him. In addition to all the rough treatment at home, it seems that Jesse was always sick. Sometimes it was real physical illness, but way too often it was all in his head. He was a small child, skinny and meek, and that didn't help the situation any. When he started to school, he was the object of every bully on the playground. He was a hypochondriac of the first order. For Jesse, tomorrow was not always something to be looked forward to, but he had dreams. He wanted to be a ventriloquist. He found books on ventriloquism. He practiced with sock puppets, saved his hard-earned dollars until he could get a real ventriloquist dummy. And when he got old enough, he joined the military. And even though many of his hypochondriac symptoms persisted, the military did recognize his talents and put him in the entertainment corps. And that's when his world changed. He gained confidence. He found he had a talent for making people laugh, and laugh so hard they often had tears in their eyes. Yes, little Jesse had found himself. You know, folks, the history books are full of people who overcame a handicap to go on and make a success of themselves. But Jesse is one of the few I know of who didn't overcome it. Instead, he used his paranoia to make $1 million and become one of the best-loved characters of all time in doing it. Yes, that little paranoid hypochondriac who transferred his nervousness into a successful career still holds the record for the most Emmys given in a single category. The wonderful, gifted, talented, and nervous comedian who brought us Barney Fife was Jesse Don Knotts. And now you know the rest of the story, right? But what's the rest of your story going to read like? Are you trying to write it by yourself, or are you going to let God write it for you? If you trusted him with your soul, can you not trust him with the rest of your life? The Bible says in Psalm 56:13, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling?" So here in the book of Acts, we have this story. There was a lady there, and she was demon-possessed, and these men were using this lady to make money. That's what they were doing. They were using her. And all of a sudden, she started following Paul and Silas, and Paul turned around the demon out of her, changed her life. But the people that she was working for, she was making all this money, they got mad, and so they decided to put Paul and Silas into prison. And see, here they are, doing what was right, doing exactly what God had called them to do, but they had to suffer for the Savior. That's the first point in the message. You know, when you stand for Christ, you're not always going to be applauded for it. You're not always going to be the best loved person at the job site or at the school or wherever you go. Years ago, when I first got saved, I was living in Nashville, Tennessee, but I was working in Cleveland, Tennessee. Now, I'm an old electrician, but then I got a technical job. I was running fiber optic cable and doing all this phone wiring and video stuff. And I went to this job site, and I mean, there were carpenters, there were electricians, there were plumbers, there were all these workers, you know. And I was a brand new Christian, just got saved, and since God had used those Chick Tracks in my life, I had a box of those Chick Tracks, and I took them to work early, the very first day on the job. I went around to all the carpenters, everybody that worked there. I handed them a gospel track. I said, "Hey, my name's Bruce Fry. I just recently gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and you know, I really didn't know how to lead somebody to Christ, but I knew those Chick Tracks helped me, and I figured they could help some other people." And I started handing them out, and I told them guys, I said, "Hey, look, now, if you want to talk about it, if you're not sure if you died, you go to heaven, you'd like to talk to me about that, I would love to help you with that." And I said, "Maybe at lunch, if you want to, you know, talk to me, just come talk to me, okay?" And I tell you what, I handed all those tracks out, and guess what? I ate lunch by myself a lot back in those days. I mean, those guys didn't want to talk to me. They didn't like me. They made fun of me. Matter of fact, one time I was going around the corner, and when I came around the corner, they were standing around the water fountain there, and obviously one of them was telling a filthy joke, and one guy saw me, and he said, "Hey, better shut up. Here comes." And I went back around the corner and got on my knees, and I said, "God, I've been called a lot of things in my life, but I have never been called a preacher before." And what an honor that was for me. And you know what? I kept praying for those guys. I kept trying to be nice to them and trying to work hard and show them that a Christian is not a weird person and they can work hard and things like that. And you know, later on during that time, I was only supposed to be there 6 weeks and ended up being there 8 months. And I got to know some of these guys. And one of those guys, his wife, got cancer. And he came to work one day and he was so brokenhearted. "Hey, man, you've been making fun of me the whole time I've been here. I ain't praying for you or your wife." I didn't say that. I said, "Let's pray for her right now." We got on our knees right there in the hall, people walking by. He didn't care then what anybody thought. And you know what? He became one of my closest friends during that time. But a lot of times when you take a stand for Christ, you're not going to be loved for it. The Bible says, Luke 6:26, Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." You know what? If everybody thinks you're the greatest thing, maybe you're not standing up for Christ like you should. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." John 16:33, "And in this world ye shall have tribulation." John 15:19, "The world hateth you." If you name the name of Jesus Christ, do you realize that the world hates you? You can talk about God all you want to, but you, when you say Jesus Christ, that turns everything a different direction. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, Paul penned these words under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Sometimes there's going to be suffering for the Savior. There was a time when Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and three times he asked God, "Take this from me." But God said no. 2 Corinthians 12:9, "And he," God, "said unto me," Paul, "my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Then Paul said this, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Do you realize sometimes it will allow you to go through a trial in life so that the power of Christ can rest on you? Have you ever thought about that? Psalm 119:71, David said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Sometimes we learn more during troubles than we do when everything's going smooth, right? And then in Romans 8:17-18, "If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon," see, that's why I know this is a Southern book, hallelujah. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Hallelujah, the best is yet to come. No matter what we go through, the best is yet to come. A.W. Tozer said this, "Before God can use a person greatly, he must often bruise him deeply." That's why the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And it's better to suffer for the cause of Christ than for the cause of Christ to suffer. So first of all, we see in this passage of Scripture, suffering for the Savior. Let's look at the Bible here in Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 22. "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." See, there's suffering for the Savior, even if you're doing exactly what the Savior has asked you to do. But as we continue to read the rest of the story, look what the Bible says in verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas complained. Is that what your Bible says? No, it doesn't say that at all. It says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I wrote in my Bible, God heard them too, because look what happened next. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Let me ask you a question. If you were in a dungeon in a prison like this, and you had chains, and you had been beaten, and just like Paul and Silas, and all of a sudden, an earthquake happened, the doors flew open, your chains fell off, would you stay? Like the Roadrunner, buddy, I'm out of there. Are you kidding me? But look what happened. This is amazing. Suddenly was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened, everyone's bands were loose. Paul and Silas sang that boy to sleep that night. Hallelujah. And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. You see, back in that culture, in that time, in that day, if you were a prison guard and you lost your charge, it was life for life. You can find that back in Acts chapter 12 and verse 9. It was life for life. So this prison guard said, man, you know, the doors are open, the chains are off, I'm sure they're all gone. So he was getting ready to kill himself. But look what happened. But Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Now, how did Paul know that? You know, when I first started reading, I said, well, maybe they were all in one big room together. But the Bible doesn't say they saw Paul and Silas. The Bible says they heard Paul and Silas. So they were in different compartments. Can you imagine if you're in a cell in chains, you'd been beaten, you'd been there for quite some time, and all of a sudden they start bringing Paul and Silas in, and you hear it and you go, oh man, I hate it for these guys. Whew. That's the same way they treated me when they threw me in here. Man, I wish I could help them, but what can I do? I'm chained up. And then all of a sudden they started praying. And this guy's going, I never heard that before. And then they started singing. You start thinking, man, I sure didn't have a song in my heart when I was thrown in here. Wow. And knowing Paul and his zeal, I'm sure he was praying the gospel of Jesus Christ because he knew there were people who needed to hear it. What a wonderful thing. And then he, the Philippian jailer, called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You see, he heard the gospel too before he went to sleep. And he knew these guys had something that he didn't have. What must I do to be saved? So first of all, we see suffering for the Savior. And secondly, we see singing for the Savior. Psalm 43. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 101 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. The apostles were arrested for preaching the gospel and rejoiced in Acts chapter 5, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You see, even when you're going through the suffering and the trials, you can still have a song in your heart if you are trusting God through the trial. 1 Peter 2:23, talking about Jesus, said, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. In fact, when we go through trials, we should rejoice that we get to suffer the same kind of sufferings that our Lord endured. 1 Peter 4:12-16 says this, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, here it is, church, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. See, there's the song of the heart. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. So on their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And 1 Peter 3:14 says, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy, not if, but when you fall into divers temptations or various trials. You know, they're going to come. There's going to be suffering for the Savior, but you can have a song in your heart, and you can sing for the Savior, and if you'll do that, there'll be souls for the Savior. Let's read the rest of the story. This is so exciting right here. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And to all that were in his house. You know what this guy did? After he got saved, he said, Paul, Silas, I want you to come to my house and tell my family what you just told me. You see, when you get saved, you want other people to get saved. Can I say this to you tonight? If you're here, the people getting saved, you're probably not saved yourself. Because when you get saved, you want other people to get saved. When I got saved, I drove 9 hours from Nashville, Tennessee to Aberdeen, North Carolina, and I set my mother and daddy down, and I said, Mom, Dad, let me tell you what happened to me, because I wanted it to happen to them. My mom even asked me, she said, you don't think I have what you have? And I said, no, Mama. I said, if I could take it out of my chest and put it in you, I would, but I said, I can't do that. It's a personal decision between you and the Lord. And you know, the thing about it is, it's not only care about, then you start caring about other people. You know, back in the day, I didn't care about anybody but me. I wanted a record deal. I wanted to be rich. I wanted to be famous. It was all about me. But when I got saved, it stopped being about me and it started being about Jesus and other people. And that's what he said. What are the two greatest commandments? Love people, love God, and love people. That's what Jesus said. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to love him and wants us to love other people. And so here I am. I'm trying my best to get as many people saved as I can. And I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And that's Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, what happens when you get saved, it changes your life. And I said this the other day. I think I may have, I may not have. Sometimes I forget what I say and what I don't. But a prayer that saves a person changes a person. And a prayer that never changes a person never saves a person. You see, I said a prayer when I was 13 years old, but it never changed my life. But 43 years old, on my knees in Nashville, Tennessee that night, I prayed a prayer from my heart, and it changed my whole life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Souls for the Savior. Listen what else Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. See, Paul knew no matter what he went through that God was trying to reach people around him. You see, what happens is when we're going through a hard time, we get like this, we get tunnel vision, and we're just looking at what's going on, oh, woe is me, and what's going on. And all around us are people who need Christ, and we're not seeing them because we're so self-focused. And that's our nature. That's our old sin nature. The Bible says in Romans 8, 35 through 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, once you become a child of God, you don't belong to you anymore. You belong to Him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, here it is, which are God's. You see, these eyes, these lips, this talent doesn't belong. It belongs to God. For years of my life, I thought it belonged to me, and I wanted to be rich and famous using the talents God gave me for Him, but I was trying to use it for me. But once I got saved, all of that changed. And God has allowed you to go through what you went through, so down the road you can help somebody else who's going through the same thing. And we talked about that the other night because He knows the rest of the story. Years ago, I was recording my Christmas CD in Evansville, Indiana. Rest of the story. And what that I was in there trying to record these songs, and I was trying to hit these lower notes. I couldn't hit them. And my producer, he said, well, Bruce, do we need to change the key, help you out there? And I said, no, I've always been able to hit them notes. But see, I didn't know the rest of the story. I didn't know there was something wrong with my vocal cords. And it started getting worse. And I love kids. I love talking to kids. And my voice got so bad, preacher, I'd say to the kids in church, and they'd run the other way. I mean, it was really getting bad. Now, in the church, oh, here's what you do, Bruce. You get some honey and lemon, stand on your head, do this. Now, you know, I got all these people giving me these hometown remedies, and I was trying to use all that. But my wife, she said, Bruce, you need to go to a specialist, somebody who knows what they're talking about. And so I made an appointment to see a throat specialist. When I went and sat down in his chair, he was getting who examined me, and I said, "Hey, doc, hey, before you examine me, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Yeah, what's that?" I said, "Doc, have you ever been saved? Have you ever been born again?" He said, "Yes, Bruce, I have. I'm a born-again Christian." And he shared his testimony with me. And I said, "Wonderful." I said, "Go ahead, Doc." Yeah. And so he put this thing up in my nose, and it had a camera on the end of it, stuck it up in my nose and went down into my throat, and I'm watching it on a monitor right here. It was the wildest thing. And when your vocal cords are like in a V like this, and he said, "Bruce, go E-E-E," and I went, "E-E-E." And he said, "You see that little knot right there?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "That shouldn't be there. You have a nodule. We need to go in there with a laser and burn that off." Now, I told you last night I got burned one time, and I didn't like that word "burn" when he said that. I said, "Doc, I'll get back with you on that." And so I walked outside where I could get cell phone, and I called my wife. She said, "What did he say?" I said, "Well, he says I got a nodule. He needs to go there with a laser and burn it off." She said, "Would you just set a date?" I went, "No." She said, "Honey, you know you got to get this fixed. You can't keep going on like this." And I said, "You're right." So I went back in there and set the date. And from the hospital to my house is only 10 miles. And as I was driving, I started having a little pity party. Not a big one, but just a little one. And out loud, I was talking to God. I said, "God, I don't understand. Why would you do this to me? I mean, I'm traveling, I'm singing, I'm preaching, I'm doing what I think you've called me to do." And then I heard myself talking, and I stopped. And I said, "God, I'm sorry." I said, "My voice doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you. And whatever you want to do with it is fine." And then I thought, you know, Doc, that doctor, God, was saved. He knows you. But maybe there's a nurse. Maybe there's a patient. Maybe there's somebody else at that hospital that needs the gospel, and you're doing this to me so I can give them the gospel. And by the time I got home, I was so excited. I ran in the house. I said, "Vicki, I believe I know what God's doing. There's somebody at that hospital that God wants me to give the gospel to, and that's why he did this to me. Isn't that great?" And she said, "If you say so." And so I started taking my testimony CDs, my gospel tracts. I started passing them out. I was praying with people. The girl that did my EKG, I started talking to her about the Lord. She started crying. She said, "Bruce, I'm a Christian, but I hadn't been to church in years." And she said, "But you know what? When I get home this afternoon, I'm going to read my Bible, and Sunday I will be in the house of God." And I said, "Dear sister, maybe God did this to me so you could get right with him." She said, "You might be right." And I said, "If I'm right, this will be gone tomorrow." It wasn't gone tomorrow. So I just kept doing it. And the last day that I went into the hospital, my pastor, my brother, and our music minister came to pray with me and my wife before I went into surgery. Now, I had already been passing out tracts and meeting people and praying with people there in the room before I was getting ready to go in. And so as they were praying for me, and I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back, this is just where God had my heart. As they were praying for me, I was looking around that room. I said, "God, there's some people in here that don't know you like I know you." I said, "I'm not worried about this. I know that you know the rest of the story, and you've got this. I'm not worried about it. But there's some people in here, God, and they are scared to death because they don't have a relationship with you like I do." And I said, "Would you help them?" So as they were praying for me, I was praying for other people. And then we went in that room, and I had to put on that gown. Boy, I hate the gown. You know what I told them? I said, "Look, you're working on my throat. Can't I just keep my blue jeans on?" They said, "No, won't let you do that." So I had to put the gown on. You know, that's why they call it ICU. Man, there ain't nothing modest about them outfits. I can tell you that right now. You know, and so I laid down on the bed after I got my gown on. I laid down on the bed, and the anesthesiologist came in there and put those needles and stuff in my arm and explained to me. He said, "Now, once I hit this button, you're going to go into la-la land. You won't remember anything until after the surgery." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Hey, before you hit that button, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Sure, what's that?" I said, "Son, have you ever been saved? Have you ever been born again?" He said, "No, sir, but I've been thinking about it." I said, "Really?" And I looked at my wife, and I said, "Hey, honey, do I have any more of my testimony CDs or gospel tracts?" I didn't have any pockets in that outfit I had on. You said, "What's that?" And she said, "No, you've given all your CDs away, but I do have a gospel track." She handed him that, and when he saw my picture with Hank Williams Jr. on the front of it, you know what he said? "You're Bruce Fry." I went, "Yeah?" He said, "I didn't recognize you." He said, "I used to come and hear you sing when I was going to college at Greenville at ECU College years ago." He said, "What in the world happened to you, man?" I said, "Oh, let me tell you." And so I shared my testimony with him. Did God allow all of that to happen to me just so that young man could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? you better believe it. Because God knows the rest of the story. And I don't know what you're going through tonight or what's happening, but trials are so we can learn to lean on Jesus to correct us. Trials are to humble us, to challenge us. Trials come so we can help others to change us. And all trials, church, are so we can be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Philippians 3:10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Romans 8:29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." Why? "To be conformed to the image of his Son." 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." You see, God knows the rest of the story. And I don't know what you're going through. If you're going through a hard time, and you may be even questioning, "God, I don't understand it." You don't have to understand it. You just have to trust him through the trial so that he can do a work through you in the hearts of other people. Suffering for the Savior, but you can still sing for the Savior. And if you'll do that, there'll be souls for the Savior. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a question. If you were to die right this second, and you're not sure if you'd go to heaven or not, would you let me pray for you? I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to say anything to anyone. But if you just lift your hand, say, "Bruce, pray for me, because if I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, and I sure don't want to go to hell. Would you please pray for me?" Is there anybody I could pray for like that tonight? Anybody at all? I'm looking around. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? "Bruce, pray for me, because I'm not sure if I die right this second." Second question I want to ask you is this, brother and sister in Christ, are you going through a hard time? Are you going through a trial right now in your life? You say, "Brother Bruce, that's me. I am. Would you pray for me?" God bless you. 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 Hands all over the place. Father God in heaven, you've seen the hands of your children, and they're having a hard time, and I have no idea what they're going through, but you do, because you know the rest of the story. And Father, to look to you and to trust you through this trial and not to get so focused on the trial at hand, but the opportunities to share the gospel and the places where the trial is going to be. Father, help us all to realize that you're a good God and you're not going to allow anything in our lives that's not for our good and your glory somehow, some way. And Father, I thank you for speaking to hearts tonight. And Lord, this is my last night here. And I may never see some of these people again. And you may be listening in a car or watching on Facebook. But if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, this last night here, I'd like to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you real quickly. And the first word I want to use is the word grace. Grace means that heaven is a free gift. Heaven is a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not only is heaven a free gift, it's not earned or deserved. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us." And then secondly, man is a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because man is a sinner, he cannot save himself. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then there's God. God is merciful. He really does not want to punish us, because the Bible says that God is love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. But God is also just, therefore he must punish sin. He says in the book of Ezekiel, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And then there's Jesus Christ. Who is he? He's God, who left heaven and came, born as a little baby in a manger and grew up to be a man. He was the God-man, God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's who he is, but what did he do? He died on a cross. He took my sin and your sin in his body so that we wouldn't have to die on a cross. He loved us so much, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life, so they could go to heaven. That's who he is, and that's what he did. He died on the cross, but he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. And thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the last word I want to share with you is the word faith. Faith is the key that unlocks the door to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Have you ever put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone? If you've never done that, I pray that you'll do it before it's eternally too late. I want you to open your eyes, and I want you to look at me for just a second. You know, there's a lot of people who believe in God, just like I did. For 43 years of my life, I believed that Jesus Christ was God. I believe he lived. I believe he died. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe that all in my head, but I had never trusted him in my heart. I want to share an illustration with you, and I've kind of adapted it to make it kind of my own a little bit. I read different accounts of how it is, but this is a true story. Back in the 1800s, there was a man. His name was Charles Blondin. He was a tightrope walker, and he'd walk on these tightropes, and sometimes halfway, he'd squat down, he'd cook an omelet, he'd eat it, and then he'd get up, and he'd walk the rest of the way. He did something different every time he did one of these stunts. But on June the 30th, of 1859, he put a tightrope across the Niagara Falls River. It was 1,100 feet across. If he had failed 160 feet to his death, no net. And he was pushing a wheelbarrow. And as he was pushing his wheelbarrow across this on his tightrope, there was a crowd that gathered on the Canadian side, and they were all screaming, "You can do it, you can do it, we believe in you." But there was one guy who was like the head cheerleader. I don't know what he was saying. "There's Blondin, he's my man. If he can't do it, nobody can." But he was louder than the whole crowd. And Charles Blondin said the closer he got to the side, the more he could hear that one guy. And he thought to himself, "You know, that crowd believes I can do it. One dude, boy, he really believes in me." And when he stepped on dry land with his wheelbarrow, the crowd went crazy. The head cheerleader ran down there, grabbed him by the hand, said, "I told him you could do it because I believe in you." He said, "Man, I could hear you above everybody." He said, "You really did believe in me, didn't you?" And he said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that I can turn this wheelbarrow around, make it back across the Niagara Falls River to the other side?" He said, "Of course I do. I just watched you do it." He said, "But do you believe I can do it?" He said, "Yes, sir, I do." He said, "Then get in the wheelbarrow and let's go." That man said, "Sir, I'm not doing that." He said, "Then you don't really believe in me. Because if you really believed in me, you would trust me." And that's what Jesus Christ is saying to you tonight. You can believe in God all your life and die and go to hell, until you come to the point where you not only believe in him, trust him in your heart. One more time, bow your head and close your eyes. Father, thank you for allowing me to be here this week with these dear people. It's been a sweet time. But Lord, I believe, and I'm no magician, I can't see anybody's heart, but I believe there's somebody here tonight, and they don't know you as Savior. And Father, I pray for them. I pray that you would work in their heart and that they would get saved before it's eternally too late. And Lord, many hands were raised. People are going through a hard time right now, and I pray that you would help them with the trials that they're going through. Will you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed? I'm going to play a song. You need to come and talk to the Lord. The altar is open.
The Lord is good, his mercies are endless. The Lord is good, has has no end. The Lord is good. Taste His forgiveness. Oh, come with me. Oh, come and see. The Lord is good. He is high and holy, and the Lord of glory, yet He will receive all who repent and call on His name. Come as you are. You won't be rejected. Come as you are. With all of your sin, fall at His feet and taste of His mercy. Oh, come with me. Oh, come and see. The Lord is good. He is high and holy, and the Lord of glory, yet He will receive all who repent and call on Him. The Lord is good.
Souls for the Savior. Is there somebody you've been praying for? Maybe a letter. Maybe a phone. Maybe a visit. Whatever God puts on your heart, why don't you do what God tells you to do? And if you're here tonight, you're not sure heaven's your home, before you leave here tonight, would you come talk to me? Would you come talk to this pastor or talk to his wife? Don't leave here not knowing that heaven's your home and Jesus is the Lord of your life.
The Lord is good. His mercies are endless. The Lord is good. His love has no. The Lord is good. Come taste His forgiveness. Oh, come with me. Oh, come and see. The Lord is good.
Pastor, would you come?
Thank you. Thank you. You can look this way. Everybody do what you need to do. And feel like you, there's something you still need to do, you can, okay? It's all right. You can you come talk to me, talk to Brother Bruce, talk to Brother Tyler, my wife. Just, we want to, the Lord's working in our midst tonight. And don't go away without Him completing the work in your heart tonight, if He's working in your heart. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in Him. We've tasted and seen that this week, church. It's been a wonderful thing. You can be seated. I appreciate the message. It was a great truth. Great truth. Just a wonderful message of the gospel, a wonderful message of Christian living, and that is true. I think of this verse often, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And that's what God will do with you in your life. If you'll trust Him with your life, His way is perfect. And I just want to fully recommend to you Jesus Christ tonight. And you follow Him, and you serve Him, and you live your life. Live your life to bring glory to Him. Everything you got is from He gave it to you. You serve Him with it, okay? I highly recommend that to you tonight. And you won't regret it. You won't regret it. 2 million years in eternity, you'll not regret it. And it's a wonderful thing to serve the Lord. And has anybody got a word on their heart tonight? Miss Emily?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. It's good. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Brother Nate.
I just want to say,
Amen. Amen. So something about nothing like meeting the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Molly. Amen. Amen. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. I love the testimony of the young people. And if you've studied through history, the greatest revivals were sparked with the young people. You young people, you mean a lot to Mountain City Baptist. Very important to what God is doing right here. And God is doing a work in your life. And I appreciate it. You keep doing what you're doing. And keep a tender heart. It's good. Anybody else tonight? Yes, sir, Brother Dean.
Corey, my grandson, he wants to come up and get saved tonight.
Amen. Well, amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, come on, Corey. I tell you what, Pastor Tyler, why don't you go get Corey and take your Bible. And Corey, we can show you exactly what the Bible says about how you get saved. Yeah, just take them on back, brother. Amen. Anybody else? We got, yeah. Yeah, Anna. Amen. Yeah. Love that song. It was good. It was good. Anybody else here? Yes, Mr. Doris.
I just want to thank the Lord for the kids, too. When I started teaching Sunday school, I knew that this is a group, and if the Lord tarries, this town is going to be really on fire for the Lord, just from the core group of kids. And at that time, there was only seven. And so now there's
I think there's definitely something sparking right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. Or anybody else tonight? Yes. Brother Chris. Yes. Amen. 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 Yes. Amen. Amen. Yeah. God is gracious and merciful. Yeah. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Brother Steve.
It's good week. Good stories of how God's grace has worked in one man's life and how it changed him. And I think God did a lot here this week. It did in my heart.
Amen.
This town needs Christ. Mountain City is not very big. But I tell you what, there's a lot of souls here.
Absolutely. Yes. We're right in the middle of a mission field right here. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that testimony. Anybody else tonight? Yes. Amen, Haley. Amen. I'm glad the Lord saved you too. Praise the Lord. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Josh.
Thank the Lord for saving me.
Amen.
And I think it's a blessing not only that what he's been doing in my life, but getting to experience these young kids.
Yeah.
That energy is incredible.
Yeah.
What's going on with these young kids? You all keep it up.
Amen. Yeah.
Clearly, you're going to be the encouragement for us all.
Yeah. That's right.
And I want to thank Bruce Brock for coming out this week. Again,
yeah.
It's been a different type of preaching, and I love it.
Yeah.
That's my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, in the Bible, children, God often uses children as the example. And when you get saved, well, what did Jesus say? You need to come to me as the faith of a child. And that's the example. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. Anybody else tonight? All right.
Well, I thank God for worrying about me for
Amen.
Brother, I don't go to church here, but I'll tell you what. It's a good feeling.
Yeah. Hey, just come on in, get right in with us. That's good to have you tonight. Amen.
You know, I've gone down the wrong road for years. I've been 4 years old before I got saved. And thought I was where I wanted to be, too. I mean, I was enjoying life.
Yeah.
And he come through and said, Wayne, you're not.
Yeah.
Not enjoying it.
Amen.
It changed me, and I thank
Amen.
Give him all praise and glory.
Amen.
I thank you all for what you're doing, my son here.
Yeah.
More than all, I give glory to God.
Amen. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Amen. 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 Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This is great. It's wonderful. Anybody else tonight? Amen. We sent his wife some flowers today from the church, just thanking her. We just said thank you for letting us have your husband, and we appreciate you. Tell her we appreciate her, and but amen. It's been good to be here, and you know, we're gonna the Lord is good. It truly is good. Anybody else tonight? All right. Yes.
The other night, I tossed and I turned and I fought with that thing. I told him the other night when we had dinner on the sermon here on bitterness and holding grudges. I've held one for over a year and hadn't spoke to my sister for over a year.
Mm.
And I thought, well, I can apologize, but and then he just came up.
Yeah. That good. Yes. Awesome. Awesome. Yes, ma'am.
I had the same thing happen. Before last, I was awake most of the night, praying for my sister-in-law, who her and I had been on the house. And I didn't think I did anything wrong, but what I did do wrong was that I felt and kept it. And so I'm writing her a letter and apologizing for what I should have done.
That's good. Stay close. Stay
close. If you were talking about Monday night, that message was for Richard Hammond.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I was miserable that whole church. I was miserable till Tuesday morning about 8:30. I got down while I was
working. Amen.
The burden was gone.
Praise the Lord. It's good, brother. It takes humility, and humility is one thing the devil can't do anything with. And God will enable you if you humble yourself. He gives grace to the humble. It's a wonderful, wonderful testimony. Well, I tell you what, the Lord has surely been good to us. I'm so thankful. And just stay close to the Savior. Draw nigh to him, and he'll draw nigh to you. And just keep on, make much of his word, and pray without ceasing. Amen. And I'm very thankful for what the Lord is doing here. Thankful for the Spirit in this place. And we want to praise, give all praise and honor and glory to God. Let's. I want to close with a song here tonight. it's Anna, if you want to come up here. And I'm not sure. I think it's 143. I'm sorry, 162. You got a hymn book, or it's let's sing a couple of verses of this. To God be the glory.
Oh. Second verse, O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood.
O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, the pardon,
amen,
receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son.
God's people said,
Amen.
Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer, and you be sure to tell Brother Bruce how much you appreciate him. And we haven't been taking up offering or anything. If anybody feels led to give, there's a bucket in the back. You can help towards his love offering, and we sure do appreciate you coming, brother. And maybe we can raise enough to buy that movie tonight. So never know.
Amen.
Amen. But let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Chris, why don't you dismiss us in prayer?